Salutations in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bring greetings from our spiritual family, Gate Santo Domingo Central, located in the Dominican Republic, a small island of the Caribbean. Today, we also salute Pastor Randolph, Renee, and family. Before I continue, I would like to give special thanks to Pastor Randolph and Renee for giving us the honor to speak at your household. It surely is a humbling experience. My name is Gisela Bogart, Senior Elder and Founder of Gate Santo Domingo Central. I had the great privilege to hear and meet Apostle Thamo Naidu in DR on the month of June 2004. 9 months later, I was traveling to South Africa on my quest for Christ. I was invited to attend ASOM, the Apostolic School of Ministry, and certainly that was a life-changing experience. As I was getting out of the vehicle when we reached Pietermaritzburg, where we had the school, the moment that my foot touched the soil, I heard the Holy Spirit whisper to me, saying, "This is your family." I really didn't understand the profundity of those words back then in 2005. So as the years went by, I was able to understand more and more how valuable our spiritual parents are to us. Apostle Thamo and Marola Naidu are very, very special to our hearts, since they have shown us the more excellent way of ministry. We also value in a very special way our global spiritual family. I remember also the first time we had the honor of meeting Pastor Randolph. I believe it was in Pietermaritzburg in an apostolic school in April of 2005. How time flies. We're talking about 16 years ago. Many, many years later, I have come to realize how important it is for us to have spiritual parents in the Lord. And the sense of belonging to a spiritual family surely has many blessings as we grow into the image and likeness of Christ. Many years have gone by, and both houses, Gate Durban Central and Gate Santo Domingo Central, as apostolic and prophetic households of faith, we are growing strong in God's grace under the covering of our spiritual parents, Thamo and Marolin Naidu. Psalms 68:6 declares, "God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious live in parched lands." In these times, we can only find our safety in God's grace as we live under spiritual covering. Well, let me share the title of my message today with you. It's called "The Cry of the Spirit in Perilous Times." My intention is to inspire you with a deeper understanding of God's grace and power. May God's grace lift our spirits so that we can desire to cry out to the Lord with passion and humbleness. God wants to hear from you and me. And when we cry out to Him, He will respond in due time. During the darkest days of my life, I have cried out to the Lord, and He has heard the cry of my spirit, and He has responded. So in the day of trouble, we can call upon the Lord, for He will answer us. Psalm 86:7. Yes, we can cry out to God on the day of despair, and He will rescue us. This is what I will be speaking of. After observing the scriptures, we came to a distinction between praying. There's a distinction between praying and crying out to God. God in His sovereignty will permit times of trials, times of testings, even times of judgment of judgment. Yes, he will arrange or allow circumstances to arise that seem to have no solution. And many times we don't understand what we're going through. And at times God will not remove those situations until we cry out to the Lord. We have gone through multiple situations, even hopeless situations, that sometimes a cry seems so futile. Yet this is precisely the setting that God wants in order to demonstrate his loving care, his powerful hand of protection. Sometimes a cry will bring freedom from emotional bondage. In other cases, God will provide healing from a dread disease, help in a moment of great danger, or clearly bring direction in a season of deep perplexity, like what we are facing now with this pandemic, COVID-19. In every circumstance, the need to cry out is a humbly reminder to our total inability to accomplish anything significant for God. Isaiah 49 declares, "Raise your voice forcefully, raise it up, do not fear." And the result of crying out is a wonderful demonstration of his supernatural power to achieve all that is needed. His promise to the prophet so long ago is just as true for us in these uncertain days that we have to face in the 21st century. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 declares, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Incredible as it may seem, as it seems, the creator of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, desires an intimate, loving fellowship with us, his people, his family on earth. And one way for us to respond to his love is when we long to have the kind of effective, fervent prayer the apostle mentions in James 5:16. But we must recognize how that fervency is hard to find. James 5:16 declares, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish much. In moments of fear, of anxiety, and trouble, the right steps towards experiencing God's powerful deliverance and protection is to simply cry out your voice, appealing to his help. This may be surprising to us because scripture tells us that God knows our hearts. And even when we utter a prayer in our hearts or in our minds, he already knows. Certainly, this is true. But for some reason, as we were surveying in the Bible with our eyes and our hearts wide open, we can't help seeing an unmistakable principle and a pattern. God's people, in their time of need, cry out with their voices for his help, and he promptly answers with his saving power. We can see this pattern many times over and over. This doesn't only happen to the people in scripture, but also to you and me today. How many of us, in a moment of despair, we have called upon his name? Father in heaven, hear my cry. and deliver me from this present evil or sickness or even pain in our hearts. And then we experience his power and strength over our lives or the situations that we are going, or the situation that we are going through. But we must always remember that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Our Jesus Christ is stronger than what we can ever imagine. He certainly hears the voice of his people. Psalm 116 verse 1 says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my pleas. Many of us assume that crying out is the same as prayer. Through scripture, we can see patterns in God's word. The believer of the early church were very effective in their prayers. And today, our prayers may not seem so effective. What is the difference? What is the difference? There was a fervency that is inherent in crying out. When we take a hold of this fact, scripture comes alive as we see men and women, sons and daughters of the living God, crying, and how God hears the cry of their spirit. God hears the request and praises. God's ears are inclined to their hearts. So let's move from whispers to shouts now. We can see that both in the New and Old Testament, there are amazing examples of words used to describe crying out or praying aloud. In each case, there's an inherent meaning in these words that includes some sort of audible sound, an aspect that doesn't always come across as strongly in the English translation. The kind of sound implied by these words vary from anything from a low whisper or moan all the way to hear splitting shouts. In approaching God, the saints of old brought a wide range of emotions and mindsets that were reflected in the tone and in the pitch and volume of their freely spoken words. Jeremiah 33 says, call to me and I will answer. Call to me. Here the Lord is inviting his people through the prophet Jeremiah to call upon him and he will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Words for prayer have a built-in meaning of audible sounds. The first word here in Hebrew is the word kara, which generally has the meaning of crying out loud or crying aloud. The same word begins as an invitation and promise found in Psalms. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glory me. Psalm 50:15 from the Amplified Bible says, call on me in the day of trouble. I will rescue you, and you shall honor and glorify me. David used this word kara often, as in these lines in Psalm 145:18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. David is known in scripture as a man after God's own heart. In one of the Psalms, he states, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Psalm 55, verse 17. The Hebrew word here for crying aloud is hama, with a connotation of a loud humming or murmuring, even to a growl, or a roar. In my distress, David says elsewhere, I called upon the Lord, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. In Psalm 18, verse 6, it declares, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Here the word for David's outcry is shava. It has a connotation of a higher pitched shout for help. David assures us that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cries, Psalm 34:15. So shava in Hebrew depicts a cry with a higher pitch shout for help. We see in Psalm 61:1, hear my cry, God. Give your attention to my prayer. Psalm 28 from 1 to 2, David declares, to you, Lord, I call, my rock. Do not be deaf to me. For if you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the sound of my cry. Hear the sound of my pleading when I cry to you for help. When I raise my hands towards your holy sanctuary. Repeatedly, David found in his experience that what he uttered aloud with such deep and sincere emotion, God heard it. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Oh Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. Over and over, David demonstrated his trust that God would hear him again. Psalm 4, verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly person for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Can there be any doubt? David clearly means us to understand that his prayers are actually sounded out. I cried out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplications. Psalm 142, verse 1 declares, I cry out with my voice to the Lord. With my voice, I implore the Lord for compassion. The son of Jesse, David, spoke his prayers aloud with faith and fervency. Praying aloud was no mechanical formula or gimmick or the lucky rabbit's foot with David. No, no. It was a natural outflow of a love relationship with his listening father. Another case. This can be true for you and for me as well. Today, right now, the more we believe in the ongoing miracle that God actually hears us through the way we open up for us into his sanctuary by Christ's blood, the more freely and fervently we'll give to our prayers, to the delight of our Father's heart. We know from our own families that a true father's heart hears his children's cries, and that the children naturally cry to him. That's the relationship between a father and a son. In the same way, crying out to God is our son to father impulse, planted in our spirits, planted in our hearts by His Holy Spirit within us. Because you are son, Paul teaches us in Galatians 4:6 and even in Romans 8:15, and I will use the Amplified Bible for Galatians 4:6, and because you really are His sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. The Greek verb used here for crying out is a strong word usually translated as shouting. The Holy Spirit Himself is at work within us to prompt our crying out aloud to God. And because God is compassionate, gracious, and always faithful to His promise, He will indeed hear and answer these cries and He Himself inspires. So in Romans 8:15, the Amplified Bible declares, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading again to fear of God's judgment, but you have received the Spirit producing sonship, by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father." Have you ever found yourself deliberately suppressing the urge to cry out to your Heavenly Father? Could it be that we've quenched the Spirit of God by this action? If so, it's time to make a change. If this has happened to you as it has happened to me before, it is the time to make a change and respond to Him in humility and also in obedience. He wants your heart, and He also wants your voice. The Song of Solomon 2:14 declares, "Let me hear your voice, spoken words have power. In fact, death and life are in the power of the tongue." God could have created the world with a mirror of His thoughts. Instead, what did He do? Scriptures declare and tell us that He used the words of His mouth, as it is declared in Genesis, and God said. Even in a wedding, it would not be proper for the groom and the bride to say their vows silently in their hearts. The witnesses want to hear their voices. And so it is with our responses to God in critical times of need. We are all living critical times of great, great need. We are living perilous times. And let's see now how the saints of the old wanted to make sure that they use their voices properly for what mattered the most. Not only prayer, even the reading of Scripture was commonly done aloud in ancient times, as we do speaking aloud during the invocation of Scripture. So from that practice of ancient times, now as we do the invocation of the Word in our services, we speak the Word out loud during our time with the Lord. For example, we can see in Acts 8 how the Ethiopian was reading aloud, and Philip heard him reading aloud from the book of Isaiah as he traveled on the desert road. Did you know that even meditation was done as a vocal exercise. Many times we think of meditation sitting silently under a nice tree or by the crackling fire with a Bible open before us. No. Meditation was done as a vocal exercise. In the Old Testament, however, the Hebrew word for meditate and meditation comes from the root word haggah. Actually refers to a low murmur. Kara, which I mentioned before, speaks of a shout aloud. Hara, another word in Hebrew, speaks of a murmur, and Shava speaks of a higher pitch voice. In fact, the word is used in scripture for the low rumbling of a lion after catching its prey. Isaiah 31:4 in the Amplified Bible declares, "For so the Lord says to me, as the lion or the young lion growls over his prey, or the moles of a dove." I hope I'm pronouncing those words correctly. Isaiah 59:11 also declares, "We all groan and growl like bears and coo sadly like doves." Like doves. And for the sound of human mourning, Jeremiah 48:31 declares, "Therefore I will wail for Moab. For all of Moab I will cry out. I will moan for the men of Kir Heres." It seems likely then that during the biblical process of meditation, memorized scripture were actually spoken aloud to help the heart and the mind engage with God's truth. This is very, very important. This is a very important practice even for us to use today. So when the Lord told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate." The word used here in Hebrew is haggah. In it day and night. The actual sound out of the scriptures from his mouth was with a focused mentality as he paid attention to. This was a practice that Joshua used to meditate day and night on the word. Joshua 1:8 declares, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will achieve success." The same is true for the son to whom blessings is promised in Psalm 1. "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." So this meditation implies paying great attention to each word and declaring it aloud. The person would continually and delightfully sound forth in a low but intensive voice the scripture he loved. Surely, this greater blessing can also be ours as we meditate with the same demonstrated intensity, just like the heightened blessing that can accompany spoken prayer. prayer, spoken prayer, is extremely important. In a very noisy and loud world, and even now with COVID-19, the volume keeps getting louder and louder. And yet, with all the babble, with all the confusion, honking, screaming, shouting, fake news, and all the works, we need to utter. We need to utter a genuine words to our Heavenly Father. But once these beautiful sounds are made, they cannot be prevented from reaching our Father's ears. The cry of our spirit can never be drowned out or overpowered by the world's harsh and ceaseless noise. What a great privilege we have as sons of the living God. We have a great privilege. We possess authority and permission and the right as God's adopted sons and daughters to boldly speak before our Father in heaven in unbroken access to his throne of grace. The Holy Spirit works within us to accomplish exactly that. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Also Romans 8:15 from the American Standard Bible, it declares, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by which we cry, Abba, Abba, Father. By crying out, we let our voices join in harmony with the voice of Christ who is at the right hand of the Father, who also makes intercessions for us. What a privileged position we have in Christ. In Romans 8:34, as I mentioned, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, by rather, was arised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. That's Romans 8:34. It can be humbling for us to use our voices this much in prayer. It requires humbleness. As we call aloud our prayer, we can more easily recognize our heart's condition before God. Hearing our own spoken prayer aloud, we can quickly detect any lack of fervency or humility or even lack of reverence before God. Listening to ourselves, we're forced to examine our hearts. And this is good. Obviously, God isn't hard of hearing the faintest silent cry of the heart. Even if it is only a passing thought, God doesn't miss a single sigh that escapes our lips. So Romans 8:26 and 27. Now in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Verse 27. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. God can listen to us even when we don't utter a single word. We can pray with even with simple tears, and he can listen. We can pray with words missing, as Hannah did, as she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. She was speaking in her heart. She spoke in her heart, and only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard, and when Eli questioned her, she answered, "I have poured out my soul before the Lord." Even as her voice was silent, God heard her fervent prayer, and God granted her a son called Samuel. In 1 Samuel 1, verse 10, 12, and 13, and even 15, because of time, I can't read all those verses. So little Samuel grew up to become one of the Lord's most dedicated servants and a mighty prayer warrior himself. So I declare, Samuel was conceived in tears with a deep, deep groan in the spirit of Hannah. There's also another example which I love dearly, is the woman that was 12 years deeply sick in Luke 8, 43 to 48. When the desperate woman with a hemorrhage for 12 years crept near Jesus, pressing through the crowd, the whole extent of her prayer was too simply and silently touch the border of his garment. She did so believing she could be healed from her chronic hemorrhaging disease that left her in total ruin, and she was instantly healed. We can also see in Genesis 24, 45, even Abraham's servant, who was sent to find a wife for Isaac, he just made a simple silent prayer. And before he finished speaking in his heart, there was Rebecca coming out with a pitcher on her shoulder. And that pitcher on her shoulder speaks to us also of water and water. She was going to the well to give water to all the camels. And that was a very, very hard work. But she was recognized by the servant of Abraham. Our God is so, so merciful and gracious. He will respond to the poor and needy, to those that are thirsty, to those that their voices are gone because of their thirst. And God says, "I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the Lord of Israel, will not forsake him." Psalm 145, 19. He will fulfill the desire of those that fear him. He will also hear their cry for help and save them. And God will hear the cry of your heart as well as the cry of my heart. In the hour of need, call upon me. In the day of trouble, Psalm 50, 15. We can call out to the Lord for his mighty help in the face of an impossible situation. We are all following the footsteps of both old saints and also in the New Testament believers from the very dawn of the Church of Christ. The people of the way, they were known, who called upon the name of the Lord. This was not a randomly chosen description. They called them the people of the way. And they were known as people who literally called the name of the Lord. This was not a randomly chosen description, but a phrase that captured the most exciting dynamics in the long story of God's dealing with his people. Paul used that designation for believers as well. We can see this now in Romans 10:12. For there is no distinction between Jews and Greeks, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call him. 1 Corinthians 1:2 declares, to the church of God which is in Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. Saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. The cry of the Spirit in perilous times. We've discovered that the concept of crying out to God is a frequent pattern in Scripture. How often that moment of crying out to God becomes the very turning point and climax of biblical stories dealing with God's deliverance of his people. The biggest epic story of the Old Testament is the story of God's salvation. Was the rescue of his people from slavery. Well, we know that Pastor Randolph did an extensive teaching on the story of Exodus. I can't remember the word right now in English, of Passover. And that was a great teaching. And we could see the entire story of everything that happened. But my question now is, what triggered this rescue? It was the groan of the children of Israel. That particular groan, the cry of the people of God, when they cried to God and God heard, and God also remembered his covenant with Abraham. And immediately after they cried out, God heard their groan. That story, you can see that in Exodus 2, verse 23 and on. It says, now it came about in the course of those many days as the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage ascended to God. Verse 24, so God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 25, and God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. In a sense, the story is now already over before it even begins. The people's rescue from slavery is now assured and guaranteed. It is truly a done deal. The victory is won because God heard the cry of his children. It's only a matter of time until the world can see God's victory being displayed. After God heard the cry of his people, God saw their oppression and sorrow. Exodus 3 from 7 to 8, there's another example when Moses was given the position of leadership and he had to bring out the family of God, the sons of God from Egypt, and in front of them was the Red Sea. And the people in fear looked back to see the approaching chariots from the Pharaoh's army, and all seemed lost. But again, the children of Israel cried out, and God mercifully heard them. And you know the rest of the story. Exodus 14:10 declares, this is another situation in the times of Judges. Even in those days of the Judges, Exodus 14:10, The people repeatedly disobeyed God, and as a result, found themselves oppressed by the host of enemies. But once again, God's deliverance was repeated each and every single time. Do you want to know why? Because they cried. Because the cry from his people triggered it. When they cried aloud to God. And here are different verses. Judges 3, 8 to 9. Judges 3, 14, 15, and Judges 4, verse 3. I will read. Judges 3, 8 to 9. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. So he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim. That's the king of Mesopotamia. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. And the sons of Israel served that king for 8 years. So Judges 3:9 also declares, but the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord, and the Lord raised up and delivered for the sons of Israel to set them free. Othniel and the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And also in Judges 3, 14 to 15. And the sons of Israel served the king of Moab for almost 18 years. But when the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. And the sons of Israel set tribute by him to Eglon, to the king of Moab. And now to conclude Judges 4:3, the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord, for he had 900 iron chariots, and he oppressed the sons of Israel severely for 20 years. Those are different situations. But years later, listen to this, the cycle of their obedience occurred again. And in this instance, the people included repentance in their cry to the Lord, saying, we have sinned against you, because we have forsaken our God and served Baal. But you know what happened? But this time God brought a rebuke to them. And we can see this in Judges 10, 9 to 16 and 11, verse 1. And God said, I will deliver no more. You can read that in Judges 10, 9 through 16. And chapter 11, verse 1. And God said, I will deliver no more. So the cycle of the Lord's deliverance of his people at last was broken. But my question is, was it truly broken? Was it really broken? And once the people cried out again, and let's see what happens. In Judges 10, 9 to 10, and the sons of Ammon across the Jordan to fight against Judah, Benjamin and the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was in great difficulty. Verse 10, then the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, we have sinned against you, for indeed we have abandoned our God and served the Baals. Judges 10:16 says, so they removed the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord. God could no longer endure the misery of Israel. In the hour of need, call upon me in the day of trouble. So Israel in the hour of need would call the name of the Lord. And in that day, in the day of trouble, God says in Psalm 50:15, call upon me. Days of trouble and hours of crisis are visiting all of us. No one is exempt of the judgment that is in all the nations, and even God is judging his church. But we know that his judgments are not punitive. His judgments come to the world as an opportune time for us to cry to our God. We are all living moments of urgent and fearful need. They come to all of us unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. Certainly, COVID-19 came like a thief in the night. However, the sons and the daughters can be prepared for such times. So what can we do in the times that we're living, that we call perilous times? We can cry out. We can cry aloud to our Father, believing that his saving help will come. We can stand firm on the rock of our salvation, believing for his deliverance. God invites and expects his beloved ones to do exactly that. Call upon me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Psalm 50:15, he says, I will deliver you and you shall glory me. We must become vulnerable as we humble ourselves, crying aloud to God in the day of trouble. He asks that we recognize our weaknesses in order to experience his strength. So we can say with Paul, when I am weak, then I am strong, 2 Corinthians 12:10. And there is no better way to express our weaknesses than to honestly cry out to God our Father for deliverance in times of trouble. God's ways are often opposite to our ways. His thoughts are much higher than ours, and his ways are beyond our comprehension. But as we humble before the living God and call upon his name, he will respond. He wants us to come to the conclusion that God did it for us. God doesn't want things to be resolved by our own strength, but he wants for us to know that he did it. So in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very ready help in trouble. If we are afflicted and overwhelmed in the day of trouble, let's cry out to the Lord, because doing that, we are following the steps of Christ, our template, our model, our standard, our pattern, our guide. For Jesus, in the day of trouble, came most heavily that night in Gethsemane, and in the succeeding hours that ended with his death on the cross, facing a time more troubling than any of us could imagine. What did Jesus do? Jesus cried aloud. By crying out, we also follow the example of many of others in the Bible. For example, Psalm 2 from 1 to 2 declares a prayer of the afflicted when he or she is weak and pours out his complaint before the Lord. We can listen to what the psalm says now. Hear my prayer, Lord, and let me cry for help. Come to you. Do not hide your face from me on the day of distress. Incline your ear to me, and on the day when I call, answer me quickly. There were two occasions when the disciples felt overwhelmed, overwhelmed. When they were overwhelmed in a very difficult situation that they had to face. One of them is the famous story of the Sea of Galilee in Luke 8, 22, 25. We use this and we teach this in this season in different ways. And remember how the wind and the water battered their boats. They came to realize that this was not an ordinary storm. Their vessel was literally filling fast with water, and they fully expected to drown. It was a very, very strong storm that they had to face. And Jesus was fast asleep in the midst of the storm. He surely knew how to sleep, how to rest, the perfect shalom in the middle of the storm. As the disciples were reaching a total desperation, they were feeling afflicted and overwhelmed. What did they do? They cried out to him, "Lord, save us. We are perishing." Only then when they cried out, Jesus stood up to quiet the storm, declaring, "Shalom, shalom, be still." So it is the same with us. Only when we cry out to him in desperation does he calm the storms in our lives. It was also the same for Peter on another occasion on the Sea of Galilee, as he was actually walking on the water towards Jesus at his invitation. So what happened when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried out to the Lord, "Lord, save me." And he had to shout because the storm was bringing all this noise. It was a very strong storm. And at that moment of Peter's cry, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. We can see that in Matthew 14, 30 to 31. So I have to run now. There's so much that I want to say. God is a God of great mercies. And we must have the conviction that when we cry out to the Lord, he will hear our call in heaven. So the groan in our spirits, may our groan in our spirits be the groan of the Spirit that in us, it impulses us to cry out to the Lord. In 1 Peter 5:10, the word declares to us, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So it is my prayer that as we finish this teaching or this impartation, we, the sons of the living God, we will understand that when a son cries out to the Lord, as we have seen that Peter did, as the disciples did, the Lord answered. So in the times that we are living now, we can have the assurance that we can call upon the name of the Lord and the Lord will save us. So Father God, God of all mercy, we can pray right now. Thank you, Lord God, for keeping in our minds and in our spirit the privilege that we have to call upon your name, the authority that you have given us as your sons and daughters, that we can call upon your name in the day of despair, in the day of danger. Father, hear the cry of your sons and daughters. May our level of prayer become more intense, that we with passion and with a deep groan in our spirits, may our groan in our spirit be in sync with the Holy Spirit, with the groan of the Holy Spirit. May the groan in our spirit be in sync with the groan of all creation, as creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Oh, Father God, hear the cry of our prayer. Ignite our time of prayer, that we will call upon your name, that we will bring scripture alive as we declare it with our voices, Lord. Father, thank you for this time that you have given us. Father, that we will listen with the ears of our spirit, and that we will receive these words that have been spoken in the mind of our spirit, so that our soul will understand how important it is for us, your sons and daughters, to cry out whenever we need of your grace, whenever we need to be delivered, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for the great privilege that you have given us to speak your word. We bless this house, Lord, Gate Durban Central. We bless those that are listening, Lord, and we give thanks for your word that confirms us to the word of grace that can give us an inheritance in this with the saints. Thank you, my dearest family, for this great opportunity to speak the words that the Holy Spirit has kept in my spirit. May His grace abound in all you do. Blessings from Gate Santo Domingo, Central.